is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
And good morning to Guardian Radio AM. This is C.A. Nuri, and I'm being bombarded with texts saying, Nuri, you're going to jail. You there don't want to do the DNA test for that woman. But no, I can't see how a foreign woman can force a Bahamian man to take a paternity test.
See, but you keeping it in the realm of a foreign woman, right?
That's the issue we're talking about.
No, that's not the only issue on the table. There are many reasons why this arises. I tell you the story about how I came home one evening. My sister was preparing for a date with a lovely young man, right? He's coming to the house to pick her up. And a family relative pulled up to the house right before he pulled up. So she was still in the doorway coming in the house when he came out the car. My sister answered the door, and it's obvious she's going out. So, hey, are you going out? She said, yeah, I'm going on a date. And the family relative turned around and said, with who? With him? Because he just popped out the car. And she said, you can't go out on a date with him because that's your cousin. Just like that, right? So a texter shared in the last segment, if not at birth, we need to have DNA testing mandatory for marriage because of how free some grandfathers and fathers were. It is possible for you to marry your first cousin or even half-sister if the daddy was sneaky enough and possibly died before y'all came of age, you became aware of the information. And that can present a health crisis.
That's why we go with third cousins. We don't go with second cousins. Anyway, this is Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. Of course, I have Aaron Green with me. Today is August 24th, and it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, we are analyzing the news. And before we were on the clock, and we were analyzing this DNA thing. This DNA thing that Dr. Darvill saying that, what the headline says again, Aaron?
Darvill, we must prevent DNA fraud.
Apparently, that's a thing. It's a DNA fraud, it's a thing. And I was saying that, do we have a government entity that does DNA testing, or are these private institutions? And I was asking Aaron, why was this headline important, or why did Darvill bring this up? And I'm saying, perhaps it has something to do with this new constitutional law for fathers given the automatic right to their children?
Right. The Privy Council ruling that children born to single
Bahamian fathers.
Right. Men who are not married to their mothers,
mm-hmm.
The state will automatically convey citizenship to them.
And they're saying now you need to have a DNA to
right,
prove that.
Paternity.
And then we were...
What they're saying is that they believe that the most prudent, the best way to do it, the safest way to do it, is for DNA testing to be the standard.
And the conversation continued, whereas I was bringing up scenarios of a foreign woman,
mm-hmm.
in this instant, demanding of a Bahamian man, a single Bahamian man, that he must bring his DNA to whether to prove paternity of this child. And I'm saying, how can the court force me to provide my DNA? And if I said no is no.
If your conscience can't force you.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know if the courts could force you.
That's between me and God. Say, God, die, mangs. That's the next way you're going. I ain't claiming nothing.
You don't think, what if God asked you, what if God tell you to take the test?
Then I take the test. And then the mother still got to take care of it. I mean, I take the test. Just a smart Ackland's man. Anyway, that's all tongue-in-cheek.
Let me read from the article.
Go ahead, read from the article. Because we have a couple articles we want
to read. I just realized we never read from it in the first segment. Officials are grappling to prevent mischief related to how DNA samples to establish a person's paternity are collected following a landmark citizenship ruling in May. Health Minister Dr. Darvill said officials are working to ensure samples are always taken from the right person, not someone providing material in their stead to skew results. His comments to the Tribune come as some complain the Davis administration is taking too long to finalize the genetic testing protocol, leaving people entitled to citizenship in limbo. And so it appears as if he was speaking to those people who want to have their father's citizenship conveyed to them.
Yes.
Yeah. But he wasn't talking to you.
Yes, but I assume that if a Bahamian man mm-hmm. wants this child to be his, right, that he must go and do whatever it takes to make sure that the child is his. My concern also is there are Bahamian who sign for the child.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so me and the woman's been going for a while. We've been living to each other. Automatically, I assume that this child is mine. Mm-hmm. So therefore, I'm signing that birth
right.
certificate.
And then there are some men who have been socialized, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've been brought up in a culture where if you were intimate with the woman, you sign for the child. Some men who they just believe that.
And then the scenario also is if a married woman had relations, can an outside man, the man that child, because he'd be in there, can we have a DNA test? Because I believe that child, even though you're married,
mm-hmm.
even though your husband accepted the child, can I demand and have that DNA tested?
What I'm saying is the... Does the wife have a right to protect, like, the sanctity of her marriage by not exposing this information?
All
and does that outweigh the child's right?
Yeah, but we have some callers here before we transition. So let's patch these callers through so we can have this continued conversation. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
A pleasure. Good morning once again. It's a different show.
It's a different show.
It's the same topic. Style like storyteller time today.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Green, Mr. Nuri, back in June 1996, on that Monday, Kingsway School had won the JA, I think, of that year. And on that Monday, my son had asked me to borrow my penny loafer strollers because, you know, the children buy them funny shoes. But they was going to the zoo to celebrate them in that junior achievement thing. So I took the shoes up there that Monday. And he said, it's a little too big, Daddy. I said, well, put on a double pair of socks. That was in his mother's driveway. We were divorced. I didn't see him anymore. Come to find out, the lady he was going out on his date, we found out that was his cousin. What you talking about, Miss Green?
Mm-hmm.
And the following Friday was June the 7th. By the way, it was Labor Day and also Brave Boy this birthday. On that same Friday, my son was in the morgue. Was dragged 108 feet up Shirley Street the Friday after they celebrated J.A. But the lady went to work out with his cousin, but we found out before he went out with her. So everything was cool. So talking about stories, these things around here, a lot of people don't know who was who, but they said, mix up like Kong salad in the Bahamas. Have a good day.
Thank you, Sparky.
I'm just happy the story wasn't long.
But see.
What? You wasn't happy that the story wasn't long?
I appreciate the gravity of the story because it's Sparky's son. But beyond that, young people have a right to know. There's this thing, right? Like, we believe that we are the be-all and end-all. There's a narcissism and an individualism about it. This idea that I don't care about the child. I don't care if the child is mine or not. It's my things. I don't want to be tested. The concerns about, I get big concerns about the chain of custody, like C. Allen was talking about on the other side. That is my greatest concern about DNA testing.
Mm.
Not just who has access to my DNA profile, but who has access to my DNA matter and what will it be used for in the future, right? That's a big barrier for me. But I think that a child has a right to know. And I think that's important, particularly in small places like this.
Let's go to the next caller so we can transition.
Yeah,
go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller going once?
We missed
that. But anyway, big row. Big row is happening between the Grand Bahama Port Authority and the Prime Minister yet again.
Mm-hmm.
It's a public row. I am officially concerned now, right? Now we know. Things ain't things in Grand Bahama. something needs to be done. Mm-hmm. The government is prepared to do something. I'm not sure what that something is, but now there is a public exchange, continuous public exchange by a foreign direct investor. And the prime minister said that they're subsidizing the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The Port Authority said, subsidizing who? Stop talking foolishness, right? So I am concerned. Of course, Mr. Mitchell, the chairman of the Progressive Little Party, said that the Grand Bahama Port Authority is ill-advised on the course they are tracking on. I believe they are definitely ill-advised. You don't, as a business operating in the country, as an investor operating in the country, you don't challenge the government. And if you plan to, if you disagree with the government, you do it behind closed doors. You write letters. This public tit for tat, and mind you, I'm not saying that the prime minister needs to be doing what they're doing all the same, but he represents the country, right? The people. And of course, the Port Authority does not want the people of the Bahamas forced to choose sides, because that doesn't turn out well for a foreign direct investor, especially when you need licenses and authorization and policing by the state. And so I am concerned. I would encourage the persons at the Grand Bahama Port Authority to cease and desist. Mm-hmm. Write the Prime Minister all your concerns. And if he wants to make it public, what do you want to do? You write him back and say that we will not communicate
in the public
and this public anymore. Mm-hmm. Be above and beyond that. We're not going to be part of the Port of Trick and the Port of Tricking and stuff like that.
You can take the call and I got a couple of things to respond. Man.
Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Hey, Nui.
Yeah, go ahead.
Nui, same. Two quick points. Yeah. You don't have to take the DNA test. I remember back in history, there was an argument where the Port set up a DNA bank, and Mr. Mitchell at the time was an attorney. He said it's unconstitutional for anyone to use the court to use a DNA to prove your child. So at the time, it is not constitutional to do that. So I don't know. This is a constitutional issue. And on the second point you raised, and I'm glad you raised it, with the Port Authority, I agree with the Prime Minister. The Port ain't do nothing for Grand Bahama. It's time for them to get the act together, because the government is spending most of the money and they need to balance it, or they let the government take over Grand Bahama, make something happen.
What are the government spending the most of the money on?
Well, you measure it. You need to check it off. Infrastructure.
Infrastructure of the port or Freeport?
A lot of the government spend money
just
on infrastructure.
Just give me an example of which infrastructure the government is spending money on in Freeport.
You got negotiation for infrastructure purposes. Then you got one or two roads. You can check it off.
In Freeport?
Not that. When I say Grandma, I mean the whole entire Grandma.
But you know the port already responsible for Freeport.
But then again, there was a new agreement. I can't remember the name right now. That they would extend it to include the whole entire Grand Bahama.
I know about that.
Under the Christie's government, check it out.
I know about that.
No, man, pause. Pumpkin Eater.
That don't even make sense.
There's no way that they could have extended the authority of the port, the free port, right, to the entirety of Grand Bahama. First of all, the mechanism doesn't work like that.
They call it the Hawker Sumter Agreement.
The Hawksbill Agreement.
Right.
Hawksbill
right.
Creek Agreement, right?
Yeah.
They extended it.
Ukiah area of Freeport.
It's not
that's
the
part of it. No, that's where back then it started in the Ukiah area.
Maybe we need to get the Minister for Grand Bahama
exactly.
on to attempt to explain to us the scope of the authority of the Grand Bahama Port Authority.
That's right, you know, there, right there.
Okay, thank you very much. But like I said, this public discourse that is happening between the Prime Minister and the Port Authority needs to cease and desist.
Well, it's not.
Now, I understand the Prime Minister is trying to push the issue, right, to have it corrected, right? But you don't do this to foreign investors, and now definitely the foreign investors cannot answer the government.
Here's my concern as well. In today's Guardian, on the bottom of the fold, there's an article right next to the PM statement, right? So the two articles, the first is GBPA refutes PM's claim it's being subsidized by government. Right next to it on the right, written by Candia Dames, is Mitchell, GBPA on ill-advised course. It reads, Progressive Liberal Party Chairman Fred Mitchell has accused the GBPA of attacking Prime Minister Davis in its response to the most recent statements. Why wasn't the Minister of Foreign Affairs speaking? Mm. Why the chairman of the PLP party? Mm. And isn't this a conflict? Because it is one and the same person.
Anyway, we're going to take a quick break there. This is Guardian Radio with C.A. Nuri. We'll be right back.
Too?
The Guardian Media Group and AML Foods want to help families in need with our first ever Back to School Snackathon. What's a snackathon? Well, we want to help by assisting in donating school snacks to children that may need them as they head back to school this year. To be a part of our snackathon, all you have to do is shop at your favorite Salomon Superstore or Fresh Market. At the store, you can donate your pre-existing loyalty points, or you can donate cash directly at the register. Every single penny will go towards purchasing snacks that will be donated for distribution by the Bahamas Feeding Network and Hands for Hunger. Together, we can ensure that every child that opens their backpack this year will have a snack and a smile.
Get involved, get involved.
Grab your camera, capture the spirit of the Bahamas, and win cash and prizes. Scotiabank, in partnership with the Guardian Media Group, invites all youth, amateur, and professional photographers to enter the Celebrate Bahamas 50 photography competition, being held under the theme One Nation, One Legacy, Our Future. With more than $8,000 in cash to be won, snap those photos and send them in by August 30th. Visit guardiantalkradio.com or bs.scotiabank.com to find out how to enter. Let's celebrate our proud nation in photos. Terms and conditions apply.
Better learn how to say no. If you lose your cool, no doubt the evidence can show. 9 months gone by, ain't seen our boy all this time. He ducking round the streets saying, "That baby ain't mine." He say, "The baby ain't mine. It don't look like me. The baby ain't mine." Mama say, "Look like Harry. The baby ain't mine. That's responsibility. The baby ain't mine. He don't look like me, mama." Yes, sir. Smooth. They got sugar on their tongue. Man, they rapping long. Man, they rap can't done. Girls, listen closely. You'd see they make no sense. If you fall for it, they will take your innocence and say, "The baby ain't mine. It don't look like me. The baby ain't mine." Mama say, "Look like Harry. The baby ain't mine. That's responsibility. The baby ain't mine. He don't look like me, family." I say, "The baby ain't mine. He don't look like me. The baby ain't mine." Mama say, "Look like Harry. The baby ain't mine. That's responsibility. The baby ain't mine. He don't look like me, family."
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. I see I have a caller on the line, but let's finish this topic first, and then we go straight to the caller next, because I want to talk about sharks. I think we have too many sharks instead of Bahamas. No, don't look at me that way. I mean, the number of sharks attack means that I need to eat some shark fin soup. But don't finish this first. Okay. And we'll talk about I eat shark in about almost 20 years. Let's let you know. I ain't no turtle about 20 years. Something got to be, I mean, all kind of turtle inside the ocean and all kind of shark.
You ever watch Finding Nemo?
Yeah.
With your children?
Yeah.
With the little babies and you're all sitting there watching Nemo and you all see the little baby turtles?
What have to do with the eating shark?
And you want to eat turtle and shark?
Anyway, let's go finish this.
Even the shark was nice in Finding Nemo, man.
Too much shark.
All right, attacks. So back to this question on the port. Yeah, before we went to the break, my concern is why is the chairman of the PLP speaking when the chairman is also the Minister of Foreign Affairs? Because this is a matter that should also sit in the portfolio of the Minister of Foreign Affairs.
You think so? No, this is like investment. This isn't foreign investor. This isn't foreign investor. This ain't but government.
It is.
And he's speaking on behalf of...
It has to be about government because it has its own governing mechanism. And that governing mechanism has to be in line with our governing mechanisms.
In the long and short of this, this is going to be about the constitutionality of the independence of the
port. And so for me, like, just a couple of questions, right? Mm-hmm. Should we even have free ports in the Bahamas? Should we even have them, right? And not just in and of itself as a construct of a free port, but with the cost of production in the Bahamas, right? Is the Bahamas attractive enough even with the concessions that you get with being in a free port? You know what I'm saying? And because you don't have to pay the taxes that other manufacturers have to pay outside of that space. You get a lot of concessions. And so if they're in this state, why is it that they are not able to benefit from those terms that come along with a free port?
And the free ports pay VAT. Can't be a free port if they pay a VAT.
I don't live in Grand Bahama.
Yeah.
Anyway, so that was some of the things.
What else you want to say?
No. We could go. We could go.
Okay, let's go to the phone line so we can continue this show for the day. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
You guys should have a show on Freeport. Just a couple of points. Freeport do pay VAT, but it's not a tax. It's a pass-through, and that's ruled by the court. It's not a tax applied to the companies. It's a pass-through they're collecting on behalf of the government. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that people have misconstrued. For instance, an extension like Pumpkin Eater say, totally, I mean, he's not even in the ballpark for Freeport. There's been some tax concessions given to the East and West Grand Bahama under the previous PLP administration to supposedly create a competitive environment for those individuals who, they say, didn't get some of the benefits of the Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement. To your statement, Ms. Green, we not only should have Freeport, we should have some other exclusive economic zones. Like let's use a country close to the Dominican Republic under the WCO rules, whatever. They have a number of them existing, Cayman and other places. If we understand what they are, then we could use them to our advantage. On this concept of the tax of the Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement being extended, the Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement was for 99 years. It has not changed. To extend the Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement beyond that, you must strike down the bill. We call it a Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement, but it's actually a law, a number of laws. And so you can't just change a law. You must strike it down and come up with a new law. What has happened is we've had acts passed to extend the period for certain tax exemptions granted under the agreement because those reached sunset, expired, beginning in August of 1990. So what we did is we extended those concessions for, 25 years or whatever, and then the PLP came and extended it again, which is, and now, again, so those are not extensions of the Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement. We were supposed to be collecting taxes from these companies and from the Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement, from these, real property taxes and everything for the 251 square miles that they own that they don't pay taxes on. And so the problem is that so many people just talk about it. They don't understand what it is. The Hart-Scott-Rodino Agreement is the only instrument in existence today for the rebirth of the economy of the Bahamas. Now, you heard a statement made by the Minister for Freeport. Listen to me very carefully, Ms. Green and Nuri. I said the Minister for Freeport, not the Minister for Grand Bahama. There's always been a Minister of Freeport. since the Hawkesville Creek Agreement came about. This minister for Grand Bahama is a nuance, a new reality. In fact, the agreement called for the Minister for Freeport to table every 2 years in the House of Assembly an audited report on the Hawkesville Creek Agreement that has never happened. The Minister for Freeport has always been the Premier or the Prime Minister, except on one occasion when Mr. David Thompson was. But every Prime Minister since then and now, the current Minister for Freeport, if you have followed the Hawkesville Creek Agreement, is the Prime Minister. And so what happens is this agreement has become so convoluted and so mired in various different things. And the reason for that is the Hawkesville Creek Agreement says that no law should apply to behemoths in Freeport that doesn't apply to behemoths everywhere. So when you begin to have a land registry that's called for in Freeport, you must have a land registry in all of the Bahamas.
When we need to have a show.
I'm just end this saying this. This is why they gave us this local government garbage when they were trying to get the extension, because it called for a real local government. And it says that you can't give it in Freeport unless you give it for the whole Bahamas. When you look at that law,
What you're saying or what I'm hearing is perhaps the advancement of the port is diminished or slowed down because it's tied to the advancement of the larger Bahamas. Anyway, let's go to the next caller.
I was just entertaining that I remember when C. Allen Johnson ran for local government. I remember that. He didn't win. But anyway, just go to the next call. Go ahead, caller. Caller, can you hear me? Let's go to the next one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? And the board is clear. Let's talk with Sharks. No, let's make sure this one. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Good morning, CA.
Good morning, dear Graham.
You know, and Aaron Green.
Morning.
I'd like to weigh in on the two subjects, the Freeport, but first, the turtle that you mentioned. It is so interesting that the man from away, I have to be so particular in what I say, who sells you to fast food, says you shouldn't eat shark, you shouldn't eat turtle, you should have seasonal group, you should stop eating all your seafood, basically. Come eat my things. Why don't we go as a nation, the two of you in studio and myself, let's fly to North Georgia and tell the redneck man not to kill Bambi. Oh, they kill some Bambi and some deer. Why we don't tell him stop killing those animals and eat more of our conch? We could farm it and send it to them. See, it's very vicious what's happening. Now, let me move from that to this Freeport thing. And I hope C. Allen's listening. He could call me if I mess up. But for the last couple decades, C. Allen should have been the mayor of Grand Bahama. Because I don't want him to say he's the prime minister of that island, because it got some other people in trouble. So, C. Allen, you should be the mayor. He told me years ago that we could collect mega money. I ain't calling no numbers, but you know it's huge. It's gargantuan. We could collect mega money in tax in that place. But you don't have the prime ministers with testicular fortitude. And I'm going to leave you with this thought. C. Allen, hope you're listening. I will bet everybody in studio, one of them fancy two-piece and a biscuit, that nobody ever touches C. Allen Johnson, and that's pathetic. But I tell you one thing, if you ever had cracked turtle, see, Cayman didn't say, oh, we're not going to touch the turtle. No, Cayman said, we're going to farm.
C. Allen, be talking about eating turtle on the show. It's illegal. I mean, not all of them outlawed, but it's illegal. Don't eat the title.
The thing is, we're talking about Freeport,
you can go to Suriname.
Big things are happening in Freeport. In Freeport, the Sand Dollar team is on its way. I tell you, Freeport is happening. Experience the digital Bahamian dollar at Sawyer's Fresh Market, Oak Street, on Friday, August 25th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. at the Raven Mall on Saturday, August 26th, from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m. Come out and learn more about the central bank's digital currency and Sand Dollar top-ups on us. Sand Dollar is on the move in Freeport. I just want to say, since we're talking about let's push that.
Absolutely. Coley, coming right now. Perhaps we need to appreciate the Bahamas, right, as being the most important place in the world right
now. Yes.
Fisheries, natural fish hatcheries and aquaculture hatcheries are being killed out. They're dying out. They're disappearing.
Yes.
The Bahamas is what, the third largest fish nursery on the planet, if not now the second, right? With the summer's heat and the heat in the water, we still haven't calculated the damage, the impact of this extra hot temperatures in the water on coral reef everywhere. If the Bahamas is still producing fish stock and others are dying, perhaps we need to renegotiate our place at the global table, right? And say, look here, if you want us to not cull, right? If you want us to allow the sea life to multiply exponentially in an attempt to regrow the rest of the planet's seafood, aquaculture supplies, whether you're going to eat them or not, just so they could exist, right? Then you need to give us some concessions.
There's a carbon credit thing again.
No, we ain't talking carbon credit.
No.
I don't, anything called credit,
you
don't
credit.
Come to my shop.
It's a land swap thing.
No, we ain't swapping nothing.
You swap some fish.
Cash or go home.
Cash or go. But,
home.
But what I was saying, Aaron, we have been having experience in a number of shark attacks. There's an increase. Bahamians are just swimming. Before, we also thought it was just tourists. We said, man, the tourists, them want to go feed the shark. What happened to them in the ocean with the shark?
So two things.
What happened to them when the shark is their business? However, the shark is now targeting dark-skinned people. I ain't used to that. So that means we have too much shark.
That's not what it means.
No, that's what it means?
No. I mean, I appreciate
that
the
dark-skinned people are getting attacked.
Yeah, I can appreciate that. B, I could appreciate that none of us dark-skinned, I mean, I'm claiming myself in that, none of us darker-skinned people are happy with that. I don't think the lighter-skinned people are happy with that either. But I don't think the shark is the reason why we're seeing more sharks closer to our shores and our beaches, and so our beaches in particular.
It?
People fishing at the beach. And the answer is
simple.
We've
always been fishing on the dock. You heard the song? Fishing in on the dock? Would you think
a beach is not a dock.
Each beach have a dock.
A truss is not a roof, and a beach is not a dock.
I yield with that. Let's go to the caller. The truss is not a roof. It's a matter of trust. Go ahead, caller. Turn in radio and go ahead.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm disappointed enough. I probably don't even have enough minutes to get my point across. I've been on hold for like 3 minutes. I don't know. You know, you guys know some of us. Actually, by prepaid minutes.
Listen, 300-5720-242-300.
No, that's not. Y'all don't have a toll-free number, not for NASA at all. All calls are paid for. But what I wanted to say is, concerning the Port Authority, you notice how the roads in NASA are? But I want to give my appreciation to the Port Authority and for people, the rest of the Bahamas, to know how I think the government.
He did lose a minute. Man, caller, you need a tax bank. I could send you $2.
Listen, and do me a favor, callers. If you speak to the producer, say to the producer.
On a cell phone.
Give them on a cell phone. The producer is a professional. He'll give us an indicator to place it on the cell phone.
But how I can send him the $2?
Call back and give the producer your number, sir. I mean, text. Text this number, 455-7242.
He should have WhatsApp, eh? And he can WhatsApp me the number.
Yeah.
And then I could tell him $2.
Give me your number.
My number?
Well, how he can WhatsApp you?
I never thought about that part.
That's why I'm Robin and you's Batman.
Yeah. Can I give him your number?
I just did.
What number did
you get? You got to call me so I could hear that voice.
Uh-huh.
I like that voice. Yeah. I don't want you to round me, though. I like the voice. I don't want you to round me.
What's your number?
455-7242.
And then, me send you the money, then you WhatsApp him? Yeah, because give him
$2. I can't WhatsApp him $2, though.
But I mean, I can send you $2 and you send him $2.
I could BTC him $2.
No, no one want no BTC. Anyway, let's go to the next caller. Let's go to the next caller. Go ahead, caller. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes. I want you to... Oh, hold on a second. I got the thing turned down low, but anyway, what I'm trying to say to you, Mr. Neri, you are a young man, but you see that woman you're sitting on the side of? She is a woman of substance, and a woman of integrity and a woman who know her country. And that's me. Let me tell you, she is 100% right. I grew up on an island, and where my grandmother went to fish is not where we swim. And I see that in the States, and they've been having a lot of episodes. So you need to sit small and listen to what she's saying. That is, and I older than the two of y'all put together.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't swim and fish at the same place. What you're doing is you baiting the sharks. That's exactly what you're doing. And listen, y'all have to, listen, men and women in this country have to listen to the word of wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And stop thinking that only the politicians are the smart ones. Because we are smarter than the ones who are in parliament. Remember that.
Yes,
we live the experience.
Yes,
and we know what's happening. We know how to bait a fish, and we know how to hook our line, and we know how to throw it out there, and we know how to sit on bended knees and catch fish for our families. But I hate when a man is listening to an intelligent woman sitting on the side of him, and I'm not knocking you, I just want you to learn something. Listen. You don't bait the fish and expect to swim there. And that's all I'm saying to you, Mr. Nuri. You know, I think you are a very lovely person, but you know, you sending your message all over the world when you get on here. And some of us are looking at people and saying, you know, this guy is a dummy because he doesn't realize that's what happens. So be careful in your thoughts. Have a good evening, you too. Bye. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Like thank I you, said, ma'am. On Mordecai, I can fish because that's
Nuri,
where the fish is.
Nuri, no, I
just
swear,
saying I can fish where the fish is.
No, you can't.
The people on Mordecai Beach, they catch, they come there, and I saying the dock is there to fish on. I got to fish or I can starve. That's all.
No, Nuri.
So you just want me
to
starve?
You trying to catch a grouper like me? That's
I
why I can't go in the water now.
At Mordecai Beach, I can fish
no,
right
Nuri.
There. I can fish right there.
Producer, take us to the next call, please.
I can fish right there. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, good day. Again.
Oh, is it German I need to send $2 to?
Pardon me?
You're the German I need to send $2 to?
No, I didn't get to leave my number as yet, but if you guys kind enough to do that.
Yeah, man.
Leave the number with the producer, so don't hang up. Yeah. Just leave the number with the producer.
Okay, but yeah, let me get my point across.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Port Authority's been doing a pretty good job of protecting part of the Bahamas. Because what I see happening is, in fact, as an NGO, the Port Authority has more negotiation skills than the government of the Bahamas. Because the things that happen in Nassau don't get happened so freely in Freeport. Like, even like the conditions of the road, and the gentleman was saying, like, which areas and the expansion of the Hospital Creek Agreement.
Mm-hmm.
But the Port Authority is in control of everything heading east of Grand Bahama until you reach the missile base. And every Grand Bahaman or person that's been to the Grand Bahama knows these things. And to the west is to the 8 Mile Rock Corner. And to the south, I guess that would be the Pindus Point, Lewis Yard jurisdiction, right?
Mm-hmm.
And every time you drive out of Freeport Zone, you encounter things that could remind you of Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
The government is being irresponsible in regards to all responsibilities they have for behemoths on the whole. And I tell you the honest to God truth, like you got the RBC place or these people, they come in, they mess up the waters. They port a 5 and 6 boats dock port on Nassau Harbor, because they know they can't just come and do that and get away with the slackness that they can in Freeport. And plus, Freeport was economically healthy for tourism and industrial. Everybody always try to say that we only industrial, but we were never like that. We had, in fact, before the first FNM government came into power, we had the bazaar.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you go in Port Lucaya, you had like 4 or 5 or 6 different hotels. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
With tourists all over Grand Bahama. And it was only one government that came in and all that changed drastically in the matter of 5 years, and nobody seems to ever want to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
But something came to my mind the other day, and it's a little bit off of this topic, right? But it's the elephant in the room, and it's because it bothers me, and it concerns me to see the level of rape and violence against children, and mm-hmm. girl children especially, but all children. And you know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
You have to realize we entwined ourselves with a different set of cultures. We have people from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And in some of these cultures, they start to mate their kids from an early age. And so you have this sex problem going on. And if you do any kind of like background checking on these people, most of them are not just behemoths. Even if they born here, they have a different culture. They know about something else that we don't know, and in fact, I think we do know, but are acting like we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
that's what I think the reason for all of this new, because I hear they've been asking that over the radio a few times, like, why all of a sudden is this happening so often?
Yeah. Sharp rise in sexual violence against women and particularly children.
And children, especially.
Especially children, absolutely.
Yeah.
I have my own thoughts on it. I talk about it regularly. I don't want to put the entire blame on the political class, but I think they've been reckless in their public commentary around sexual violence, and in particular sexual violence against women and children. And I think that we need to take it, like you're saying, take it more seriously and understand how even our language can negatively impact, right? People and compel or justify in people's minds their behavior. Yes, sir.
Oh, Carla, leave your name and number. Not even your name. Leave your number with
the producer
so we can text you the money. So is it Alive or BTC?
BTC.
Oh, that's Aaron.
Cool, cool.
That's good. I didn't know people just have that. Anyway, thanks very much. Just I leave your number with him.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah,
no, no, man. Thank you. And I just want to say to the listening audience, that's a one-time top-up. Because it may have been me. I may have been running on. I think it was Mr. Nuri.
You talk a lot, Aaron.
I do.
Yeah.
But I got a text here. Somebody texted and they say, look here, you can call the toll-free number from a cell for free without eating into your minutes. You may have to dial 1242 before. You may have to remove the 1 or the 242, but they say they've done it and it works. Thank you, texter.
I see we have another caller here too. And we go through the text after that. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me? Caller, going once. Go ahead.
Oh, geez. The producer just put me straight through to you guys.
Oh,
okay.
It's the same guy. Put him. Take his number. All right, here we go.
There we go. So, yes. So, like I said, right now it seems if we have a proliferation of shark attacks. And I believe in order to curb that, we may have to reconsider fishing or not fishing of sharks again. I think that may be an issue. I don't think it's because of we are culling, chumming. I don't think it's because we're chumming the waters. I don't necessarily think it's that. I think that because we have a large number of sharks and they're not being policed as much, that we have more sharks there, so we have more shark attack.
Okay. Let's put that aside, or on the side for a moment, while we're waiting for the government to determine whether they're going to repeal legislation or amend it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You don't think we still need lifeguards on the beach? I mean, I was reading this story, and that's what prompted me to raise the subject, right? In today's Guardian, page 2, sister of alleged shark attack victim says lifeguards should be on beaches, right?
Can lifeguards spot sharks from off the beach?
Yeah. It's a whole industry. It's a whole industry. They even have like lifeguard games, you know, like lifeguard Olympics. They have these things called towers. They're tall structures that they put on the beach. They had some on Montague Beach, but nobody said what they were for, or if they did, the signs fell off, and then no actual lifeguard. I never saw a lifeguard out there myself.
Does the government assume responsibility if they hired lifeguards on the beach?
Well, surely,
an insurance policy, if you have a lifeguard there, you are vested in the patrolling and policing of that area. Therefore, government is now liable.
Well, yeah, and that should be. Here's why. Say you're not concerned about the people that compose the country. You're not concerned about the citizens who go to the beach regularly. You don't have to be because who? You, the government. But tourism is your number one platform.
And tourism likes who?
Well, I mean, they like the beach.
But they like Sue.
And they like they come here because everything here is friendly. They watch Finding Nemo. They say, yeah. When you go in the water, the sharks them is talk to you and the turtles is say hi.
But they do know that the lifeguard, I mean, there's no lifeguard on duty. So they assume going in the water on their own at their own risk. But if they see a lifeguard,
then they would assume that there's someone there paying attention.
And if no one is paying attention, someone is liable. And guess who that someone gonna be?
The people who invited them to come to the beach?
Us.
Not me personally.
Well, I just but
because I didn't send a letter.
My tax money.
I got a Ministry of Tourism. But we should have lifeguards on the beach for Bahamians.
You know we have a lot of beaches, right?
Yeah.
Plenty bleach.
You know what we have?
What?
We have a large tourism product. We got 10 million, hopefully 10 million tourists come in per year after this year. And we got a lot of Bahamians who want to work. And since the government wants tourism to rule everything, why not enhance your tourism product and at the same time give Bahamians jobs?
Yeah. Let's go to this caller. Here is waiting. Go ahead, caller. Can you hear me?
Yeah. Mary and Graham.
Yes.
Sharks.
Morning.
Why do you think we have increased shark attacks?
No, you go ahead because I put my theory right.
Good. Well, let me give you the history because you all know it. 20 or 20-something years ago, the people from Costa Bar come over here and tell us we can't kill those sharks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Bahamians are not a shark-killing society. What we used to do when we go in the back of Golden Key and around and we fishing out there, and one or two sharks keep taking our cutting our fishing off,
uh-huh.
and we catch them, and we bring them up to the boat, the big ones.
Uh-huh.
What we would do, we would either take that big one or we would shoot it with a shotgun or something, cut it and let it go. So what that was doing back in the day was keeping the size of the sharks down to a manageable level. But since we can't kill the sharks, what do you think happened to that four-foot shark over a 20-year period? He gets big.
Right. See,
and our sharks are not ocean-going sharks. Those are reef sharks.
Mm-hmm.
They swim around the reef looking for food.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you get from a four-foot shark to a 15-foot shark, you ain't around the reef looking for no little grunt no more. You hungry.
You looking for Aaron.
Sharks are eating machines.
Yeah.
So when they hear the splashing on the beach, they inquisitive, naturally inquisitive, they can go find out what that is splashing in the water because
mm-hmm.
that could possibly be food for them. What our politicians were supposed to have done was they could have considered the no shark thing, but they were supposed to think about it properly.
Right.
You understand me?
And go to the industry stakeholders.
What we need now, we need a season, probably a month or two, like sensible people in the United States and things does, where you open the season for shark culling, but you only take sharks over a certain size.
Yes, sir. It you understand? All
because
the
we
sense.
Have, cause we have thousands of sharks out there, so we ain't going to be missing no shark, no time, so on.
Yes, sir.
It's just that all it is common sense, man. Remember? You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, absolutely. Thanks for taking the call.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Thank you.
I haven't eaten shark in about 20 years. Mm-hmm. Have you ever tasted shark?
Not while it was illegal.
But have you ever eaten shark in your
life? Not that I was aware of.
Shark and white rice taste nice. I'm just letting you know. Have you ever eaten curry turtle?
Not in the Bahamas. I was in Suriname and I had the opportunity to eat peanut soup with turtle in it, right? Turtle soup.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a peanut-based soup.
My mom used to make some good turtle soup. I don't remember how that tastes anymore.
Yeah.
It's been like decades.
Mm-hmm. But what you could do, go home, gather the family, plug in Finding Nemo, and then go look into the faces of all them cute little turtles and ask yourself if you could suffice with the memories.
I could eat a turtle. I'm just saying I could eat a turtle.
You know what? Life is awesome because it turns out a turtle could eat you too.
Yeah, they some big turtles there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't the universe and the planet just awesome?
Hmm?
It's absolutely awesome. The more awesome thing is we don't quite know what role, what function the turtle has
yes.
in the environment, right? And so until we do know
mm-hmm.
what purpose and function these animals have, it's not our place to exploit them. It is our place to engage responsibly. And so we have to make sure we don't eat up all the things.
But I want to go back to the caller. And I appreciate the lady who called, you know, and I always love when I'm being corrected, right? It's always good. Where do I fish? Now, me, as a person, subsistence fisher, right, fisher person. Where do I go?
Now we have in real talks. This is the important part right here. Why is it that in an archipelago, on an island 21 by 7, where everybody is less than 4 miles from the ocean at any time, where people have traditionally sustained themselves on subsistence fishing, why don't we have areas that are demarked and saved for fishing?
That's a dock on Montague.
No.
No.
The dock is for boats to dock.
That boat ain't no boats for you boat there. That's where you go and the fish.
The point is this, is that this is a real tension and we should have already allocated spaces for fishing. You see, the people who are governing, it's like they don't really care about the people. Like, if the people didn't exist, governing the Bahamas would be so much easier. There should be places for people to fish. And that's why in the pandemic, people really, really began getting concerned when their ability to even subsistence fish was restricted greatly in the face of the shutdown of the global economy.
You know where you're not supposed to go fish?
On the beach where people swim.
That perhaps, and part of ski dock. Because all kind of contamination. I mean, I don't know, all the boats and oils. And they want a good, decent behemoth to fish out there.
Now, you could fish out there because let me tell you why. Because the fish have sense. They don't just chill out in the harbor. Uh-huh. They just come through the harbor. You go only catch, like you fishing, you catch them and they come in through. So that's transitory. They have good sense not to hang out
ski,
in there.
Where on Port of Ski you could go fish?
I know that where people tend, when the last time I've been fishing, last time I've been out there and seen people fishing, it's usually on the eastern end.
Yeah.
Right not
boat
on the west
end. Yeah, right where the big boats are.
And normally when the boats aren't there, people find a nice open gap. And
I noticed, you see the oil slick? Go there and you can see the oil slick.
I haven't been to Port of Ski in many, many moons.
Your fishes be black. And there ain't no tan fish. It's just be black.
Don't watch nothing. What we do know is that the people selling fish at Port of Ski aren't catching fish out of the harbor.
My good government.
They're not catching the fish out of the harbor, Mr. Nuri.
My good government put rocks on, not Goodman's Bay. Where that beach is?
Sanders Beach?
On Sanders Beach for me to go fish out.
No, that's not what that is. I know it's called a fish tail, but it's not for fishing.
You trying to say the rocks in for me to go stand on and catch fish?
No, and I want to say to our non-national residents, please, stop fishing on our beaches. They go and cast their line and set their rod up. That is to two things. That's supposed to stop the erosion of the sand, right? It's supposed to stop the bleeding away of the sand on the beach, right? Or to encourage shore growth.
I'm starting to think you all want behemoths to starve because you all don't want us fish.
Not on the beach where people are swimming.
But you won't tell me where to go.
Listen, dear Minister of Agriculture, Marine Resources, and Family Island Affairs, and the minister responsible for ports and docks, we need immediately for you guys to identify and demark safe areas where people could go and fish and not create a hazard for swimmers. It's simple. That's a simple thing. That's why we're congratulating people for doing things that they're supposed to be able to do and they sleep as a government. They want medals for it. This is a simple thing in an archipelago where you just named sailing the national sport.
You know we call the 3 million fishes places where people go to school fish, right? Anyway, it's that late. It's 11:59. I enjoy going back and forth with you, Aaron.
Listen, somebody say a loggerhead shark drowned a person before. We have to have a meeting with the sharks.
Yes. Got it here on the air with C.A. Nuri. Have a beautiful day, eh?